And right away, I was excited that we sold our van, but I knew we weren't. The money wasn't for us. But I had to. So Yahweh told me who to give it to, but I figured out a way how to get it back. You know, in my mind, because that's how it works. So I figured out a way to give it back, and I was like, okay, in the morning I'll call them, and you know. And so by the morning I prayed, and Yahweh's like, nope, I changed it. You're giving it to someone else. I'm like, oh. I can't get it back from them. You know, so because we had bills, we had medical bills coming up, and they were due August 4th. This was the end of June. I wrote it down. It was June 19th. So anyway, but we had medical bills coming up that I knew were due August 4th, and, you know, I'm like, all right, I guess I'm just going to confess that we'll have that, you know, by August 4th, so it's not a big deal. You know, I'll just... And so, and I, you know, once we gave it away, I was excited and blessed and all that stuff. It still sat in the back of my mind, but we have a Joshua basket. So what we do is we write down in a little, book, our request to Yahweh or what, you know, things that we're asking of Yahweh, like Ruth's birth is in there. You know, our house is in there, our van, our new van that we recently got from Chuck and Wendy's. And I mean, all this stuff is in there. So anyway, and then once it's, once we get it, what we're asking for, we put a number on the rock according to Joshua. I don't know what scripture exactly, but remember when they crossed over?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, and so you do it as a remembrance. So what we did is, so then you write the number. Everything's numbered, what you're asking for, and you write the corresponding number. So you can look at that thing of rocks and, you know, just see all your blessings. And, of course, not everything's in there. When I was trying to get pregnant with Ruth and wanted to be pregnant with Ruth, I already had a rock picked out. It fit perfectly in my palm, and I carry it around with me sometimes.
Oh, that's neat. Cool.
And I carry it in my pocket or carry it in my hand or whatever, and so I carried it for a long time. So I knew. And some of the kids would try to use that rock for something. And I'm like, no, that's my rock. That's my baby rock. That's Ruth's rock, you know. So anyway, going longer than I anticipated, I'm sorry. But so I had written in that book, in our Joshua book, okay, I gave away this money, I expect tenfold back. Well, a couple days, or just yesterday, we got more than tenfold back, so.
Wow. All right, Father.
So more than tenfold. So,
outstanding.
So pretty amazing, and so I was able to label that rock yesterday, so.
Aww.
Hey, Matt,
thanks for sharing.
You can give that rock to Ruth when she's a grown woman. How cool would that be?
Oh yeah, her it's number two, but it was the second one in that book. That's one of the reasons why I started that book. But it was
Here's your rock.
In fact, I had already written the number two on it, and it wore off. And so then it was like, okay, I can't put it back on until she's born.
Oh, yes. That's so sweet.
You know, she's going to ask, how come I was number two?
Yeah, who was number one?
Izzy's buck. One of Izzy's bucks was number one. So, you know, knows where she stands.
That was your number one.
Yeah, it was my number one. That's why I created the book, but Izzy slipped in there before I did. You know, that book meant a lot because I told Amanda about it. She came over and she read it. And I was like, oh no, I'm exposed. Like, it says right there what I want. I've been exposed. You know, I wanted another baby and all that other stuff. So, yeah. Anyway, so it was pretty cool because, yeah, I realized today, it's more than tenfold.
That's so awesome.
Thank you. I forget about that so many times, you know. Forget, you know, you have not because you asked that. That's too big. I can't ask for that.
And so, so August 4th came. And we didn't have the money. Now, the next day after we gave away the money, we did get a couple $100 back on our medical bill overpaid, so that was great. But August 4th came, I thought, well, I'll just charge it, and I'll pay the balance, you know, I'll just pay off, you know, whatever. But I thought, okay, September 4th, you know, I know when that credit card's due the same day and a month later, so I'll just wait. And so, you know, we kept waiting, and now we can pay it. So.
Oh,
I'm more so, but anyway. So that's pretty cool. It's more than tenfold. And I wrote in there tenfold, so that was, I checked today.
There's some really, I've got even more for you.
But there's something really neat. I mean, you want to be careful not to have somebody with unbelief infect your believing, mm-hmm. but there's something about it. He could have told your sister to read that. And there's almost sometimes, you always have me to do that, but sometimes I make it a confession. If you believed it, you'd say it. And now there's certain times he's going to say, don't. This is supposed to be a secret. He even told Jesus Christ that. But I've had that where I was supposed to say it in front of people. I didn't want it. I'm like a fool.
Oh, I know.
It would be really easy to know that I failed.
I had that when I was doing my eye test. It was the last thing to fly. And my eye was still screwy and I couldn't see. And so I could read if I scanned it back and forth. And I thought, I'll put my face in it and I'll use my right eye and I won't let him know. Well, it doesn't work that way. And so I put my face in there and I'm like, here it is. I said, I will get it, but you're going to have to give me a minute. And the lady goes, take your time.
Oh, awesome.
And I'm like, yeah. I'll do it. Put my face in there. I'm like, this is it. Last step. Here it is.
Yeah.
And did it right off. She goes, okay, you're done.
Would you give a little bit of background on, you don't have to tell the whole thing, but.
Yeah, sure. I had.
But this is part testimony.
I'd come down with the strep A, and it had wiped out, shut down all my organs. Everything had come back up. It was a healing. It was very wonderful healing, and I still had a little bit of residual damage. And I was flying at that time. And to get back up on flying status, I had to go through rigorous certifications. And I mean, they ran me through all kinds of stuff, and they were trying to keep me from flying again. And the doctor even told me that. He goes, they're going to try to keep you from flying. That's their job. And so he goes, so go in there knowing that. And I'm like, okay. And the last part of it was my vision. I had to pass the vision test, and my left eye was still a little bit screwy, and I could read fine with my right eye, and between the two of them I could do great. But with just the one eye, I was still having a little bit of problem. I had a blank spot where I couldn't see anything. Mm-hmm. And so I stick my face in there, and there it is. I'm like, golly, I can't see it. I can't see it. I'm like, going, bull crap. Everything else has happened. It's all come through. I am not giving in to this. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, give me a minute. I will do this. And she goes, take your time. I'm like, go and did it. And then I told her afterwards. Mm-hmm. I'm like, going, here's what happened, and here's where I'm at. And she's like, sounds good to me. Signed it off, and I'm like going, but I'm not gonna. This is not gonna be the setback right here.
And you're the first guy in the Air Force to get
first guy in the Air Force that had cardiac arrest that got back up on flight status. So, yep.
That's a boy.
That's right.
It reminds me of Christ with the blind man. He goes, "What do you see? See, I see men as trees." He didn't quit.
Yeah.
And I go, man. And I guess before I give my testimony, I need testimony that I heard with my father once when he got started in his business. It's neat because when somebody shares a testimony, I really believe that Christ is able to reference those things in our own lives. And once we get something, all of a sudden when something's not going, he goes, this is what happened with your father, and I can remember that. I heard an analogy of talking about a using your imagination, but you have to get started. And the analogy was when you're expecting something, you need something, you have to get started with some sort of focal point. And the focal point is like throwing a lump of clay to Christ for his potter's wheel. Just get this thing started. And it primes a pump. So you go, what would be worth going through all of this? Nothing. Just get started with something. What would make your difficult life worthwhile? You're going through some tough stuff. You want to quit. You're ready to give off to the cares of the world. There's too many demands. I can't keep this up. It's not worth it. Whatever you're going through, stop. What would make it worth your while? And go, okay. You know, imagine Donald, President Trump is your father or something like that. And dream big and then get started. And I believe when we do that, it's like throwing a lump of clay to Christ. He's got to have something to get started with and he can use it. The testimonies are like that too. It gives him something to use in our lives as a reference point. So these things are with my dad once, when he was starting in his business, he was supposed to make phone calls and they gave him a book of numbers to call. But he'd get through the names list. And he hadn't made any appointments. And if you don't make appointments, you can't sell anything. If you don't sell anything, you're not going to make it in this business. So what he did, and so here's all these cubicles. They divided a big names list between all these cubicles. All you guys go out and make appointments. So what is he going to do? He's doing everything he could. He went through his name list, maybe 15, 20 pages of names of people. Can't get any appointments. Everybody else would have stopped there. But what did my dad do? A good advantage he had, what some people would think was a disadvantage, but was a big advantage, is he had 7 kids. Quitting is not an option. You got to do everything you can. If you do everything that you can, then I'm not at fault here. So what he did is he called the number at the bottom of the page, or I don't know the exact story, and he called the same company that sold this names list to the company and bought his own names list. Who does that?
And then he starts making all these appointments, and then the other people in their little cubicles there, hey, he's calling stuff people on my names list. And guess what the manager thought? Good job. That's how business works. But that testimony, I've never forgot about that. Mm-hmm. Going to go, well, I'm doing all that I can. Really? Was your dad doing all that he could? He stopped, and there's a little bit more of those on there. This testimony I wanted to share is just my recent house. And so I sold this house. This was about April last year. My neighbors, the Luces, they have like six kids, and it was like having my own lease program for kids. Because every morning the kids would come over and hang out, and then I could send them home. But I came over, I give them Tootsie Rolls. They did tell me scriptures. I get to play with them and give them pep talks. But in April, I saw a for sale sign in the front yard, and I was like, well, that stinks. Because they should have asked me. They didn't take all the kids, and now I'm not going to have any kids here. But anyways, all of a sudden, as soon as I saw the for sale sign, something started. A wheel started turning. It's time for you, too. And I wasn't sure. And just for the record, this is the last thing I wanted to do. I got plenty of things to do besides selling my house. So I resisted it until about probably late April, maybe. And finally, I believe, you know, Yahweh's post-its are, you know, I put post-it notes. Don't forget this. Yahweh's post-it notes don't blow away. They stay there. And that's one indicator that's his.
Yeah.
Because I forget my stuff all the time unless I see a post-it. But his thing is, if I get peaceful again, he's like, I'm still waiting. And so here it was with the house, and I was like, okay, if this is really Yahweh, I gotta at least get the ball rolling that direction, so what could I do? So I called a real estate agent. I said, I'm possibly going to sell my house. Would you be interested in selling it? If you are, why don't you come take a look at it and tell me what you think? He comes out and looks at the house. He's all excited. I'm not excited. I don't want to sell my house. He's looking. Oh yeah, this has got going on. This is going on. Like the rocks. Like the basement. I like the ceiling. This, I like these things and all these. So he's liking these things. He said he gave me a price, but he thought I could sell for. And then he gave me some suggestions. And anyways, he leaves, and I'm like, okay. I'm just trying to go through a checklist of keeping my boss happy, and so I didn't do anything after that. And then about a week later, the same urge is like, you know, this is what I want you to do. So my first real act of faith was, that was just the beginning, just being slowly obedient. The first thing was I was going to need to hire a drywall guy to, spray some knockdown. In the last bit, I don't think there's knockdown on the walls. And then I was like, well, I'll take all my mounted TVs off and let him fix that too. The problem was I didn't have the money to do any of this. I was going to have to borrow money from tax accounts or from Yahweh's accounts to do it. And so I call a guy up. He said, yeah, I can. He goes, what are the odds? When he answers the phone, he goes, yeah, I can come out today. What are you doing today? I was like, actually, I'm going home right now. He goes, wow, you caught me on the right day. I'm usually really busy. I just got a cancellation. I can come out right now. I'm like, that might be confirmation. But I'm like, no, it's not confirmation. I don't want to sell my house. In the back of my mind, the guy shows up. He's a nice guy. Anyways, he looks at everything. He goes, I get this thing done, get a good price, be here in 3 days. You want to set an appointment? I'm like, yeah, go ahead. In the back of my mind, I can still cancel this thing. I haven't given any money or anything. In the back of my mind, I'm looking for any reason to cancel. I can't borrow money out of the tax account. And I can't borrow money out of Yahweh's account either. I remember when they took money out of Yahweh's treasure house. You know, I remember that when they took off the gold off the doors and stuff. And I read those things. Would I be that guy? And I'm having every excuse not to do that. But his desire was still there. I couldn't shake it. And so that was day two. I'm looking for a reason to cancel. Day three, the guy shows up. He doesn't know I don't have the money to do this. I mean, I could borrow something. I could go into some sort of debt. Anyways, the guy he shows up with looks like a vagrant. And he looks like he's not completely sober either. And I'm looking, I'm like, they're going to be walking around in my house unlocked. I got all kinds of things. And so now I really got a reason not to do this. So I told a white lie. I said, hey, if my silent alarm goes off, I'll just give you a phone call, okay? And I'll just check in to make sure it's just you guys, okay? He goes, you got a silent alarm? How will we know if it goes off? I go, only if I call you. I'm trying to make him a little paranoid. Don't steal anything. But anyways, in the back of my mind, there's a feeling, lighten up a little bit. This is going to work out. But still, I'm going, man, I got a lot of pressure in these other areas. Anyways, that day, they worked,
And I came home and I saw a lot of work done, and there's a, it was like a fresh breeze of peace. Mm. An excitement that I had not had yet. All of a sudden, I had a desire was, have you ever not been hungry, then you smell fresh baked bread?
Yeah.
Or donuts?
Or bacon.
Yeah. And you're going, all of a sudden, you're like, what is it? And all of a sudden, I started getting excited. And I had peace that night. Then I woke up the next day, how am I going to pay for this? And the guy shows up again, he's got a, and, well, actually, he's going to show up at 1 o'clock. So I go to work, and this is day 2, excuse me. I come home. The next day, I got to pay this guy. And so I come home from work, and I go to my mom and my dad's at fellowship. And I'm over at mom and dad's going, I just need to relax and spend some time with mom and dad. I'm also trying to go to bed early, changing my clock. And I get done fellowship with my dad. Hadn't thought about bills or selling a house or moving. And I was peaceful. And then as I'm driving home at 10 o'clock at night, and I'm trying to go to bed early because at the time, I was having a real hard time sleeping at night because I can't turn my brain off. I got a stirring. Go to your mailbox. No! See what's in my mailbox?
Bills.
Bills. Scary, scary bills. And if I open bills before I need to go to bed, I'm really going to be up. That's not what I need right now. So as I'm driving home, you wait till you get older. You won't want to go to the mailbox sometimes. Oh, here we go. I'm going in. What's in there? I go to the mailbox. I pull out junk. You know what's in there? A check. For a little bit of money above the amount that's going to cost to have all this done.
Wow.
And I looked at that and I went, you mean I'm not going to have to borrow any money? I'm not going to have to use any kind of financial leverage? And I went to bed that night just ecstatic, going, I almost missed that. I probably would have been obedient anyways, and I probably would have opened that check a week later. But it would have been unnecessary, and it could have messed me up. I would have been missing other things if I was stressing out about something that was already done. Mm-hmm. The next day I go to work. A guy calls me, says, I'm down, you want to come by and inspect? Actually, I'm the one that suggests I'll come by and we do a walkthrough and I pay. He goes, oh, you want to do a walkthrough? And he was surprised I said that. I'm like, I was not expecting good workmanship when he... Anyways, he walks me through. He's with his son. And I come back up, and then I said, hey, I want to tell you something. His name is Glenn. And he goes, yeah, what's up? And I said, I did not want to sell my house. I did not want to do any of this drywall, and I didn't have the money to do it. He's looking at me because he hasn't gotten his check yet. And he's like, I grab my checkbook, and I start writing the check. And I said, but last night, Jesus Christ told me to go to my mailbox. He told me that I was supposed to do this. And last night, he gave me the money to pay. I said, I was going to have to borrow the money, but he gave it to me. And this guy's face, he just melted. And then he went into a whole testimony. The night before, he was at a Bible study. This guy doesn't look like the type of guy that was necessarily going to be at a Bible study. He said, yeah, my... And he starts going into the stand, revealing that he was a believer. And my testimony ministered to him. And then I got to give him a prophecy right then and there. I said, do you mind if I pray? Yeah, okay. I pray, Father, you giving me this money to bless him. I also told him, I said, he that sows bountifully will reap bountifully. If you don't sow... Don't expect any reap. Don't be out there praying for your harvest if you haven't sown anything. Give to Yahweh your first fruits. That's Proverbs. I said, before you spend a penny of this, this could be seed money for you to do 100 or tenfold. And he kind of heard of that. I said, put it in an account. He'll tell you what to do with it. So anyways, I get done with that. Okay, that. The problem with that is the house started looking so nice, I didn't want to sell it. Now, oh, this looks nice. I'm getting comfortable. The next step was I had to finish my basement. And so I started finishing my basement. I still didn't know why I was supposed to sell my house. I didn't know what was going on. I'm talking to my brother who's back there. I was on the phone. And how nice it is to fellowship with believers, to even run ideas or thoughts. We have to be careful not to... If Yahweh tells you not to tell anybody, don't do it. Because faith comes by hearing, so does doubt. But in this case, I'm talking to my brother. I don't even know I'm supposed to get out of my house. And he says, matter of factly, well, it's because Yahweh has another family he wants in your house. He wants to give your house to somebody else. All of a sudden, it just rang a bell. It's like a tuning fork. And his tuning fork hit that. And all of a sudden, there's a tuning fork inside my heart. That's it. This is for somebody else. Because it wasn't for me. And all of a sudden, I went to the office. And I sat down and I told my brother-in-law, Tim. I said, Izzy told me that I'm supposed to get my house ready to sell because it's for somebody else. Tim went into an immediate testimony about selling a house. He's got an incredible testimony. They're going to sell a house. And I'd heard about how much money they'd made on it, but I hadn't heard all the background. And he got to tell me after I'm going to butcher this thing, but they got their house ready to sell. Yahweh told them to ask this price, and don't tell anybody. It was a lot higher than anybody would have paid for. You couldn't probably have got a loan for it either. And I'm learning that if they didn't comp for the houses in the area, you can't get it. And so even that, if you guys didn't know, it's probably good you didn't know it. And what happened was the day that Tim put it on the market, a guy came in and said, I've been running by your house. How many?
Weeks.
Wanting to buy this house. Looking for this house. Wanting to go on the market. I've been watching, seeing all the work you've been doing. I've been watching this. And he gave him money that day. Tim gave him an inspection, walked him through the whole house, and any house that Don and Tim move out of, anybody would be blessed to move into. This is a lot of great workmanship. And Tim, after Tim tells me that testimony, Tim goes, my only regret was I shouldn't have bought it for sale sign because I couldn't return it now. So I could have saved $20. And knowing about houses, if it wasn't cash, you couldn't have done it. Because you can't, if a house gets appraised because it's comp, because the house is only going for $200,000, you put it for $400,000, they're going to have to do cash loans. And so it was a cash, all the rest of these things. Anyways, what did that do for me? This is for somebody else. So anyways, I started finishing the basement. My mom and my niece came over, helped me paint the whole upstairs. I had no idea how much work that was going to be. I pretty much took the month of May off of my work to do it. And during that time, Dad and I get forced out of our office. And I mean, not forced out of, but we had to, like, pretty much an eviction notice because our manager at our office of 15 or 25 years was nasty. So now Dad and I got to find a new office. Oh, great! I haven't been working for a month, and I need a new office, and all these things are going, I better not sell my house. But and as I'm painting the house looks better and better. We start finishing the basement. As soon as we get the basement finished, a huge desire. Put everything in storage. And actually, before I did that, I went and rented a storage facility with Izzy. And that was one of the things. I couldn't rest until I got this to-do list. And before actually I finished all that, he said, you go get a storage facility now. That's faith. So I went and got a storage facility, a storage thing, but nothing was packed. So for the first month, all that was in there was a ladder. So the second time we went out there, he goes, are you serious? That's all that's in here? I said, this is a faith storage facility. I bought this in faith. And at the time, I looked really silly. But anyways, the desire was get everything out now. And so I started packing, getting things ready. I hired some other guys to come and move my gargantuan couch and all the heavy things. And started packing, putting everything into the storage facilities. And then in the back of my mind, what if the house doesn't sell? Now you're going to have a $300 to $400 increase monthly expense. That's $4,000 a year. You could be putting in your IRA, your investments, or whatever, and a mortgage that you can't live in because there's no furniture. How does that sound to somebody supposed to be managing money? Put it on the market, and the first showing wanted it, and they put in an order. They wanted to buy the house. That was real nice, but that was the first showing. I wasn't necessarily ready to move. After that, they put in. We had to negotiate some things, and they wanted to buy the house, but they had to buy the house now. And I told the real estate agent, look, I'm going on vacation from the 2nd to the 10th. I'm not getting back to the 11th. When do they want to move in? Oh, just the 12th. I go, my garage isn't empty. He goes, we'll get all taken care of. You want to do this? So anyways, we go on vacation. On vacation, all Hades breaks loose. Threats, all kinds of things are falling apart. When I get back in town, all these bad things are happening, and I thought it was the buyers that were trying to force me out of my house, and it wasn't. What I was going to do is I was going to say, you pushed me, you don't get a house, real estate agent, you're fired, I don't have to do anything. This could be a year-long process. You're not going to intimidate me to sell my house. The real estate agent made it sound like I was going to be evicted out of my house if I didn't sell and pay for an additional $3,000. So that's just reason. That's prudence. Principle. That's a principle thing. That's what I was thinking. The next morning I came home,
the next morning, I was praying about something else, and all of a sudden, as I took my mind off the principal issues, I had peace, and a calm conversation started being communicated to me, almost like a breeze of peace. I said, "Aaron, why were you selling this house? Somebody needed it? Okay. If this family that has to be in that house in 3 days is the family that needs it, are you going to stick them and tell, you know, pull the plug on them? Especially if this is the family that I want in that house?" Oh, no, I hadn't thought about it that way. So Yahweh says, "I want this for a family." And I'm going to tell Yahweh, "No, no. Do you think you're going to keep your house by telling me no, huh?" And I'm thinking, I didn't think about that. He goes, "So what are your problems here?" I said, "I got a real estate agent. I got some attorney things I got to wrap up." He goes, and in the meantime, because of my dad's counsel, I was able to reach out to the buyer. And here's a good thing. The real estate agents don't want the buyer and the sellers to ever talk. Contact them. Because if there's any problems, you can go right to the other person to say, "The real estate agent is blowing this." And I did contact the people that are buying it. And I said, "My real estate agent is blowing this thing. Are you guys okay?" They said, "No, we're not okay. We got a notice to vacate in a day. Or we have any place to go?" Mm-hmm. And my real estate agent wasn't communicating anything. As far as I knew, the real estate agent was saying that I'm a squatter. Anyways, I was able to be obedient because of all my family here praying and ministering. And I said, "Okay, well, we'll go through with the sale of the house. And then I'll take care of the legal stuff later." At the closing of the house, I sat there and I got to take care of a couple of principal issues, which made me feel good with the leasing company. Don't do first title. What was it? No, security first title. Don't do it. No, that's not a good company. But as far as
Mama,
I got to meet the buyers. Mama. And when I met the buyers, here's this husband and a very stressed out woman. I'm Aaron, and the day before the closing, Yahweh told me to go film my house. So I went and I took my phone. I filmed. Here's my house. Here's the basement that Tim and Guy finished. Here's the rocks that my brother brought me from Douglas, Kansas. Here's a wet bar my dad helped me install. Here's the walls my mom and my niece helped me paint. I'm doing this whole tour of this house I'm getting ready to sell. And then as I was doing that, all of a sudden, I'm on my knees. And actually, I filmed. I think Yahweh told me to film myself praying. Made me a little uncomfortable. All of a sudden, I went back to a time machine like 10 years ago of me praying in the lot before the house was even built, asking Yahweh, "Is this something that I can do? And is this something that you're okay?" And Yahweh reminded me that I was on my hands and knees quivering whether I could even make this thing work to move into this house. Now here I'm selling it like it's nothing. I want a double upgrade type thing. And I was so grateful. Thank you for letting me live in your house for 9 years. And now you got another family that wants to live here? Thank you. And I was just so grateful. And I said, "This is your house." And so as I move out, as I pull out of my house, saying goodbye to the house, Yahweh blessed me with my family, helped build. I kept their cross on the widow's peak that Sean and Izzy got me for Christmas. It was for the family. I kept the Yahweh sign in the basement. I also kept the doorpost that has the Hebrew scriptures on the front. This is Yahweh's house. And then I sent the woman a message. I sent her a long message, and I said, 9 years ago, I asked if I could build this house and move into it. And Jesus Christ and Yahweh, his father, told me it was okay. I said, like 3 months ago, they told me I got to get out. They said put the house on the market. I didn't want to do it, and I had to do all these things, and they told me I had to get out quick. And I get this whole testimony. I said, this house has been used like a church to glorify our Father through Christ. Families have come here. It's been a clean house. There's no pornography and these other things. Now this is your house, and now I know you're the family he told me that needed it. And she sends me back a smiley face, and I'm like, if she's a believer, there you go. There's the testimony, what you're getting. This isn't my house. This is everything about your landlord, this person moving into it. When I get to go meet this family, and I also told both real estate agents, I told them right up front, I said, I don't want to sell my house, but Jesus Christ told me it's for somebody else. So I'm telling everybody the testimony. And at the closing, everybody's looking at me weird. I get to meet the husband and the wife.
And it turns out that the day that they came there, their first showing, they walked over to the pool. If you guys don't know, at my house, the neighborhood pool's like right in my backyard. And they saw two families there with their kids. Families that had kids the same age as their kids that they were friends with. What are you guys doing here? We live here. They're like, oh. And then also the guy says, yeah, I always wanted a pool. And I guess this one has a pool. And I said, are you kidding me? This is a pool you don't have to clean. This is a pool you don't have to pay for. And he went, I never thought of it that way. I, yeah, this is better than your own pool. And then after that, I said, is it, I said, somebody in another room said, is your guy's anniversary? She said, yes, it was yesterday. So this whole thing about moving in was to be on the first year anniversary. Mm. And I said, well, that's really neat. And then I started talking some other small talk, and they came up, and I said, well, right down the street, I started telling about all the kids' names. Here they are. Here's what they like. Here's what they don't like. Here's this other thing. I also got to tell my new neighbors that moved in, the whole testimony. I got to meet this neat conservative from Florida that likes hunting. He goes, you're moving? I'm like, yeah. He's a weightlifter. But anyways, so JJ's over here. He's a great guy. And then it turns out that the police officer lives right down the street and says, great. He parks his patrol car there. It keeps people honest. She said, is his name Nate? Yeah. Is his wife's name Amy? I said, no, her name's April. She goes, no, her name's Amy. I'm like, I'm your neighbor. She goes, hold on a second. She goes, is that Nate? Oh, yeah, that's Amy. It's not April. I'll be doggone. I've been calling her the wrong name for years. We went to school with him. And I look at that, and we get done with all these things, and then, you know, the conclusion of all of it, you know, getting to see these things. Now, the family hearing this, you guys have already heard this. But it started with Izzy's word. This house is for somebody else. Okay. And then when I got to the turning point, well, am I going to tell Yahweh no? And then I got to hear Tim's testimony. And then the second thing was, you got to get out quick. And so everything up now, my storage is completely full, by the way. And I'm not paying for a mortgage. So I'm actually saving a lot of money. But isn't that neat? It's just faith.
Thanks to your little nieces and nephews.
And I got to hire my nieces and nephews to move me out. And so the whole family was there. But I just felt like I was supposed to share that. So I'll go ahead and give a prophecy and encourage everybody. Mm-hmm. Give your testimonies. Testimonies are like anti-venom. You go out there and you witness. Tell people stuff. If you're going to do anything, you know, if you're going to get, you know, it's amazing how many times that you can sit down with believers and you can't talk about scriptures and stuff because of doctrine, because they have different beliefs or something. You're like, what are we going to do here? Give a testimony.
Yeah.
You're sitting with a stranger at an airport or a gas station, football players on a road. Give them a testimony and push yourself, and then go, I'm going to do this afraid. I'm going to give Jesus Christ and Yahweh all the glory. I'm a little afraid about doing it. You know, force it, do it. And what will happen is chain reactions happen in all of our lives. And as I was telling Dad today, I said, there's something neat about testimonies. And Dad went in, that's the book of Acts. That's Kings. Most of Yahweh's word is testimonies, and then he gets to reference those things. So you got what it takes. Okay, well, I'll go ahead and I'll pray, and I'll give a prophecy according to 1 Corinthians 14. Thank you, Father, for these words. I thank you for this wonderful family, and I do thank you guys personally. All my family that come here and listen, and we thank you for the encouragement they do. Thank you for all the people watching also, for Billy and Rachel, for Cameron and for David and all our friends in Joshua generation, and for Janae down in South Africa and her family. We just thank you for these things. And by the way, Janae, the prophecy, I think Tim's was for you. And so, thank you, Father, for the words we're about right here. My sons and my daughters, know that I am wake up each day with you with great excitement and anticipation. Although you are sleeping, I stand over your bed with a big smile, ready, going, today's the day. Today's the day that we conquer all these things. And all I ask you to do is to come with me on this adventure. And I will take care of all the big things. I'll take care of all the consequences if you are obedient to my word and walk with me in light and in love. You can be the greatest story each day. You don't have to go to Netflix. You don't have to watch TV. You don't have to read books for the greatest adventures. The greatest adventure is each day you have. You can use those things for a little bit of adventures, but be the adventure each day with me. And know that when you go out,
you will start fulfilling what your purpose is. And remind yourself, say, what is the purpose of my life? What is this purpose? And ask people that. Say, what is the purpose of your life? What are you born for? And plant those seeds and make them start thinking, get those wheels going. And I do the same thing with you every day. What's the purpose of today? Today. And make yourself excited. Get yourself charged up. Eat my word. And you eat my word by speaking it. So feed your new man by speaking your word. Speaking the word out in faith. Believing you have received. And do these things each day. And if you keep doing this each day, tomorrow will be taken care of. And then a year will be taken care of. And then a decade will be taken care of. This is how Moses did it. This is how King David did it. And this is how you'll do it too. God bless you.
Hallelujah. Thank you.